Ladies and gentlemen, jury, the prosecution is not going to get that man today. No, because I'm going to get him.
Ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagman and Hagman Report. It is, it is Tuesday, April 18th, 2017. Thanks so much for joining us, and thank you so much for your belief and your trust in us as we go through the events of today and of recent, recent few days. I want to start out by saying that, I'll start out by telling each and every one of you who has supported us and is supporting us through your prayers, through your fellowship, through your donations, financial donations. I just want to say thank you so much to each one of you. It means a lot because we have, this is going to be a topic here in the first few minutes of this show. There are a couple of things that we want to tell you, and it involves you. So pull up a chair. Turn up the volume on your car radio, or if you're listening to this via headphones in the office or something, earbuds now, I guess. Make sure you can pay attention for a little bit. For the new listeners, we broadcast live each and every weeknight on Global Star Radio Network, and I want to thank Global Star Radio Network for carrying our program 7 to 10 p.m. Eastern Time. We're also simulcast on BTR. Blog Talk Radio. They're a fine organization. I want to thank them as well. And at present, YouTube Live. At present. And that's going to be a matter of, we want to talk to you about that concerning what's taking place here. Because I think people need to understand the greater story behind the headlines. In case you haven't heard, I'll just bring this out and Joe, you can comment on this as well. We had some information earlier that the Facebook killer, boy, isn't this going to be the title of a movie, the Facebook killer, right? Steven Stevens. I guess his parents weren't too original. Of course, I don't believe that's his birth name, or if it is, again, his parents certainly not that original. We had information that he was in this area, and in fact, he was. And in case you haven't heard, he was didn't quite. He got his chicken McNuggets, but not his fries, which led to his demise in Erie, Pennsylvania, not too far from, well, on the other side of town from where we're at. But based on everything I've heard from one source in the state police, that you know he was in around this area, even where we are. For the last 36 hours, anyway. So, yeah, very interesting.
Well, they haven't verified that yet. And one of the issues I have...
Not publicly. I just want to say not
right.
publicly.
And there was a press conference today that the state police gave. And there was a press conference, I think it was this morning, that the Cleveland police gave, or maybe it was yesterday, that I watched. Cleveland police have been giving press conferences the last few days on this issue. One, there was information that his cell phone was pinged in Erie.
That was on Sunday, apparently.
But that wasn't true, according to state police, the city police. They never verified that information. Information never came across there.
But here's something, Joe, just to catch you up to speed, just so you understand, there was surveillance being done on the Reddit forum. There was FBI and Pennsylvania State Police and Ohio Highway Patrol surveillance on the Reddit forum. This wackadoodle murderer gave out his cell phone number.
Yeah.
Okay. They published it on the forum, and some hackers got into it. That information about the ping did not come from the police. It came from a private, if I will say, a hacker, or if you want to go
that way. So the hacker really was doing the police's work for them.
Well, right. And the information about, well, we didn't have the police saying we couldn't we couldn't establish his location based on his cell phone.
Do you buy that?
No, not even a little bit.
Right, and me neither.
But the other parts of the story, I know today the officers, the state police officers who followed him when he left the McDonald's, and we're talking about the Facebook killer, as he has been described. I don't like ascribing names to these kind of people or titles, because to me that feeds into their legacy, which they don't deserve. But the information I received was they knew he was in that area, and I'll tell you why this is important in a second. They knew he was in the Buffalo Road Projects tenements in that area. They knew he was there. They did have police looking for him. Somehow he went up to, he might not have been there at that moment, obviously, when they were looking for him. But apparently, just shortly after 11:10, 11:15, Eastern time, he went to the McDonald's and ordered food, chicken McNuggets and fries. The staff at McDonald's says, I think this is the guy. So they, of course, the girl at the window told the manager. The manager eyed the car. Meanwhile, the girl at the window contacted 911, the state police. They dispatched vehicles right away. The girl at the window had the presence of mind to say, okay, you know, we're getting your McNuggets are coming out. It's going to be a second for your fries, a minute for your fries. Just, you know, wait right here and we'll get them for you. Meanwhile, the guy, Steven, says, oh, I don't have time for this. No problem. You know, keep the money for the fries. I don't need them. And he left. Going west on Buffalo Road. Buffalo Road runs east and west across the east side of the city. And just to understand the city of Erie, in that area, that's where, the Martin Luther King Center is. That's where the projects are. That's where the public housing is. That's where a lot of the multicultural centers are. That kind of gives you an idea of that area of the city. Well,
you have the county that is bordered by Ohio on one side, New York on the other, and
right.
The city is a much smaller area inside that.
But
he was starting to go from the city into...
He was in the county. And here's
in the county into the city.
Right. And the reason the state police, as opposed to the Erie police, he was actually... And I don't know how much of this is public, but he went from the McDonald's in the... and it would be just right over the city line, which is state police jurisdiction.
Into a municipal area.
Right.
Was it Lawrence Park or...
No, went from the county into the city.
Right.
But the pursuit began, and when I say pursuit, it was more of a, there he is, you know, let's get our act together, you know, as we close in on him. And of course, he saw the police car, and then there was the, as I understand it, based on my conversation with this, my PSP source, Pennsylvania State Police source, it was a very, very short, like 100-yard short chase. It wasn't a high speed. It was very short, which explains when you hear the news, well, you know, he shot himself during a pit maneuver by the Pennsylvania State Police car behind him. So, in other words, the PSP car attempted to, you know how they do the pit maneuvers, attempted to disable the vehicle. And that's when he shot himself, or shortly thereafter. So, but that was a very, very short period of time. So it's all over. But the lesson, the takeaway from this, and this is something that we spoke about in the office, and I think that everyone should consider. If you don't have a concealed weapons permit and your state allows it, most states do, get a concealed weapons permit and learn how to use the weapon that you carry. Because think about this. Imagine being a citizen, having a concealed weapons permit, already being approved for this. And I know a lot of people who do this. In fact, I know a couple of off-duty or retired municipal police officers who never carry their off-duty weapons, well, their weapons now, with them, even though, of course, they're permitted to. They never carry their weapons. So imagine the situation. If you are licensed to carry a weapon, you've got a weapon on you. You see, for example, this guy, And what do? You dial, of course, 911, but the other obvious thing.
And they're going to tell you not to engage.
Right, of course, of course. But it would be foolish if you are licensed to carry and you're proficient with a weapon not to have it with you. Can you imagine? I mean, you know this guy's armed and dangerous. So that should be a lesson to everyone. If you don't have a concealed weapons carry permit, definitely get one. And if you have one, make sure you carry your weapon with you at all times outside of your home. That's my recommendation in addition to some other things. But I think, and this, to me, this is getting more and more critical that we do this. Go ahead.
The one thing that bothers me about this whole scenario is the amount of coverage this guy got just because he decided to videotape his crime and post it on social media.
Well, right, because now you have, and you had mentioned before, the killer in Fresno, of course, that was a Muslim terrorist, mm-hmm. Muslim-inspired terrorist. And there are other things breaking out. But this kind of segues into Facebook. And I think the biggest story right now that is not being reported on, obviously, the terrorist violence out there, the fact that you've got videos. Facebook is allowing videos to be posted and retained. I suppose the shock of the allowance for the videos to be retained is what I'm referring to here. In fact, yesterday, of course, Brennan House and the former Muslim turned Christian who were talking in Sioux Falls, South Dakota, on April 9th, when the Muslim man came in to the venue where they were speaking, armed with a Quran, armed with not just a semi-automatic in his belt holster, but one in his ankle, and then went to his vehicle and displayed a couple of long guns, including an AK-47 and an AR-15, and the ammunition. I've been watching and looking at this video. That is still up on Facebook. Do you understand, folks? That video that he took and shot live in that venue is still on Facebook. The video he took of the weapons is still on Facebook. Yes, the story is his intent. Questionable intent. Did he cross the line? Was there an obvious transgression of that line from being just a guy that had a license or has a license to carry a concealed weapon? Did he cross the line into making terroristic threats? Certainly, it was implied as he took the camera and spanned the crowd. I would certainly look at that as, yeah, I think that the elements there, of course, this would be for a judge and jury to decide, and it certainly would be for a prosecutor to decide in terms of filing charges. But if I was a prosecutor in the environment that we have today, I certainly would be filing charges against that man. This is my view. And, you know, I've got I've got his name and all of his information in my office. I did some checking on this man.
Well, I want to just jump in here. After our interview last night with Brandon about this issue, this morning I found a number of articles on the internet from a number of sites that put this story up.
Yes.
And I read through.
But we were first.
Absolutely. Brandon was first, and then we were his first interview. But the comments and what people thought, I read through a lot of those. And aside from maybe a few trolls or people looking to cause trouble or to be funny, I mean, 95 to 99% of the people were asking or saying, why haven't charges been filed yet? When will they be filed? Who do I need to talk to help push this forward?
And
how would it look if it was on the other foot, if it was a Muslim conference and, you know, a Christian went there, did the same thing, you know, we'd already be in jail. It was all that same sentiment. Everybody agreed for, you know, the vast majority of people, 90%+ that I read, agreed that this was a chargeable offense.
Exactly. And it, okay, and this is why this is so important today. This is why, with respect to the so-called Facebook murderer, the Facebook shooter, and with what happened on April 9th in South Dakota with Brandon House, now with what's happening with YouTube, this all ties together. There, once you start investigating this, and folks, I want to talk directly to you and tell you a few things that I've found directly by digging down into this whole situation of censorship, and make an announcement as well. The issue is this. Let me go back here. You may recall we did a conference in Dallas, Texas back last year, and there were threats made, not by Muslims, but there were telephone threats made. I'm not exactly sure 100% the nature of the threats or what was said. I was not privy to that, but there was a threat to the venue. And that threat, it is my understanding, it is my personal belief that threat was done with some level of malice, and the intent was to either get the hotel to say, "Well, man, you know, I don't think we want your conference here," or to create additional cost to the conference presenters and the conference organizers. All right. Well, what does that have to do with anything? Okay, well, it has a lot to do with what we're seeing happen today. Because based on what I found with the connections, my investigative findings of the actor, the man that's on Facebook, that you can go to his website today and see that display of arrogance, of Islamic arrogance against Brandon House and that event. The fact that Facebook is allowing this video to remain on Facebook should speak volumes. The fact that he did what he did, some might say, well, he was just alone in his actions. Not based on what I have seen. I believe he was there in his actions. In this case, what was part of a larger agenda. That agenda is to shut down any and all discussion about Islam, to shut down and shut up people like Brandon House, the other speaker that was there, people like, well, just name a pastor. Name a pastor that has the temerity to talk about and the courage to talk about Islam and about what the Quran says without fear of censorship. And there are getting fewer and fewer out there in the Christian world. And yet, I'll just leave it at that. But my investigation into this man, who identified himself as John Smith, Muslim John Smith. That's not his name, obviously. In fact, his name is Ihab. I don't have it in front of me, but he's from Saudi Arabia. It's on his Facebook page, his name, and he has connections to, based on my investigation, my investigative assessment, he's got connections to the various Saudi-funded mosques and ties with not just the North American Islamic Trust, but also at arm's length, the Council on American Islamic Relations. There he is. He's pictured on our YouTube channel if you want to take a look at him. Now, why is this important? Because we're looking at the attempts by the Muslims, by the Marxists, and by certain groups to take us off the air, to shut down any type of discussion about Islam, to stifle any kind of discussion about conservative values, and that includes but is not limited to homosexual marriage, which is an oxymoron. There's no such thing. The queer LGBTQ studies or phenomena where you've got to have 31 pronouns to describe either a male or female, which is just bogus. abortion, any talk about Planned Parenthood or abortion, the takeover, and again, I just want to go back to this, the springboard is the Islamic takeover of the United States through immigration. So you've got these, all of these hot button points. You've got the Muslims and the Marxists combining forces, using, this is not a single front battle, using a number of tactics from protests and riots to just merely protests, again, reference the so-called protest of 50 or so older white, majority white females holding signs in front of the placards and singing songs in front of the venue in South Dakota, along with the Muslims, of course. You've got several Jewish organizations. Those are on the religious fronts. Then you've got, of course, on the political fronts, you've got opposition research organizations and foot organizations, ground level foot organizations, including the umbrella organization run by Obama, Organizing for Action. Then you've got something called ShareBlue. That's pretty much dedicated to the internet. I don't know how many people understand ShareBlue, but it operates under the pretext it's a media company. And their mission statement, quoting from their website, is we produce practical, factual content to delegitimize, in this case, they're going after President Donald Trump, Trump's presidency, embolden opposition, and empower the majority of Americans to fight. Now, this is where resist fascism comes in. This is where Antifa comes in. This is where RevCom comes in. Also, other organizations, in addition to ShareBlue, and ShareBlue is pretty much relegated to the internet, then you've got Media Matters, you've got American Bridge 21st Century, you've got Citizens for Responsibility and Ethics in Washington, which is, goes by the acronym of CREW. And then you've got the legal side of things, which is American Oversight. That is an organization that was just started. It's a 501c4 organization. And that's comprised of about five lawyers in Washington, D.C. that founded American Oversight. And their whole mission in life is to file lawsuits. Okay, just understand that. And if you're, and if you've ever been the defendant in a lawsuit, it doesn't matter how frivolous it is. It doesn't matter. It just doesn't matter. It doesn't matter if it's some idiot, moron, psycho person out there that files a lawsuit against you without merit. You still have to defend it. And sometimes, regardless of the, you know, regardless of the merits or without, even without merit, it's still going to cost you time and money. So that's that organization. So you've got this multifaceted attack against Christians, against conservatives, yet Facebook. Let's keep that video up there. YouTube. In the New York Times today, how YouTube's shifting algorithms hurt independent media folks. If this story, I mean, you talk about fake news. The tenets, I suppose, of the majority of tenets are correct, but the delivery, the explanation, the details, I don't believe are. There was a story published yesterday, how YouTube's shifting algorithms hurt independent media. Bottom line is this, they're in the process of demonetizing any non-ad friendly content. They're going after conservatives, they're going after Christians. And let me tell you something, anyone who believes that they will, that it's going to turn around, they're going to fix this problem, you're not paying attention. This is not a problem that's limited to some stray algorithm. This is an intentional. Right. This is intentional. So we are responding in kind, and then how we're going to do things is a little different. That's the announcement.
And this article makes excuses for YouTube, saying it doesn't take into consideration the context, what's humor, what's, you know, versus what's intentionally made to be
satire
offensive.
Versus fact. Right. Yeah, it's not. Yeah.
And as they say in the article, people were the ones who made the algorithms.
Yeah.
And it's not just from major advertisers saying that they want to pull away from extremist content. Because regardless of how, I mean, they say, what, 400 hours of video an hour uploaded to YouTube, or if not more, or a minute. How much extremist content is really uploaded to YouTube? I'm sure it's very minimal. It's
certainly on the Christian side or conservative side, there is none. I know we're getting close to the break. Look, I just want to say this. Well, how we're going to handle this is, and this comes out a horrible time. You've got, we just amassed a group of investigators going out and infiltrating these organizations that I referenced. We've got added expenses, just tremendous. So this revenue hit us right square in the jaw. How are we going to handle this? We're just going to appeal to you. If you like what you hear, if you like what you see, if you want us to continue our investigative part in this show, then we ask for your assistance. And you've helped us a lot. Plus, we ask you that you support our sponsors, every single sponsor that we've got. Please show your support to our sponsors, because they're the ones taking the heat as well. I'm going to be writing some more about our investigative findings on this to let you know, because this is pretty complex and it warrants more than a drive-by here on the radio. Go ahead.
We'll be right back, folks, with Austin Brewer. Don't go anywhere.
Visit HagmanReport.com for the news and articles that matter most. Stay tuned. We will be right back. In a thrilling series of novels, T.C. Joseph takes us into the lives of three families who struggle to maintain normal lives in a world where conspiracy theory and Bible prophecy collide. T.C. Joseph's viewpoint of alternative history and understanding of prophetic events will change your view of the world and the events on our horizon. Kirkus Review states, readers of end times fiction will be hard-pressed to find it done more intriguingly than this. Extremely readable and fast-paced. Blue Wink Reviews boldly states, fans of Tim LaHaye's Left Behind series and Tom Perata's The Leftovers will find this thought-provoking series absolutely riveting. Order your copies of T.C. Joseph's This Generation series from Amazon.com. Book 1, Precipice. Book 2, Pentecost. And Book 3, Penance.
In these uncertain times, it makes sense to have a sustainable backup method to cook food and boil water. If your current plan includes using a fuel-burning stove or cooking over an open fire, then there's a much better way. The Minuteman Rocket Stove is a biomass-burning cooking stove that only requires small quantities of sticks and twigs for fuel. The Minuteman Stove is easy to use, smokeless, portable, powerful, and sustainable. For the finest in survival cooking stoves and fire starters made right here in the USA, go to MinutemanStove.com. That's MinutemanStove.com.
You may never look at your city, town, or its people the same way ever again. Stained by Blood, a murder investigation based upon a true story by private investigator Douglas J. Hagman. Using the character Mark Stiles, Hagman takes you on a journey behind the scenes where the homicide becomes a secondary to an underworld of satanic ritual abuse, child abduction, and even mind-controlled experimentation. A world dismissed as conspiracy by those who want to keep its secrets hidden. Exposing the dangers, denials, and deceptions. For 5 years, a brutal killer remained on the loose, free to kill again. As Mark struggles to navigate the maze of bizarre twists and untangle a web of deeply hidden secrets kept by some of the most powerful and influential people in his community and beyond. Stained by Blood. Order your copy of this engaging novel today at HagmanandHagman.com and click on the link. Stained by Blood.
Yeah. I'll make sure I don't do anything crazy.
That's right. Hey, welcome back, ladies and gentlemen, to this edition of the Hagmann and Hagmann Report. I know that you're probably throwing things at your radio from the first segment saying, oh, why don't you just spit it out already? Folks, there's a very fine line on a number of things. If the investigations that we've been conducting into the censorship issue are so revealing, they are comprised of so many levels. You don't understand. In order for us to really do the job that it really takes, it's going to have to be a separate video, but I just wanted to get the gist of it to you. The censorship of conservative and Christian, their messages, the messages that's going out, folks, is only going to continue to worsen. You have to understand that. So we have to think of alternative venues in order to get our message out. Global Star Radio, 100%. YouTube is just going to be icing on the cake if it allows us to even talk about this. Or if it does, yeah, we can use it, but certainly you can't benefit, not even the least, from it. Just telling you the way it's going to go. Those people who are expecting this revenue to return, no, you've got a better chance of, seeing a Teletubby in your garage or something. It's just not going to happen. This is important, and this is one of the more sinister things that are happening behind the scenes. And the people behind this are not who you think they are. So just understand. That's why I'm very hesitant sometimes, and just to understand the magnitude of this. It's crazy. Having said that, I want to mention two things. More on that. I'll just leave it go. More on that as in the coming days, and we're going to be putting some things on the website as well, both HagmannReport.com and HomelandSecurityUS.com. It's that critical. We have now with us Austin Brower, HealthMasters.com. He's got a show with his dad every day, 3 or 4 p.m. Eastern Time. It's a great show. He's coming on to talk right now about, in fact, I'll kick it over to Joe to talk about some of the headlines, the global geopolitics headlines, including, but not limited to, things you're not hearing about that they're covering, such as Africa and what's taking place in Africa. Austin, great to have you, brother. Go ahead, Joe.
Thanks, guys. Glad to be on the show with you. Yeah, the first thing I wanted to cover today, and I mean, this is something that nobody's really talking about, is that the U.S. is putting boots on the ground in Somalia again now. If you guys remember, back in 1993 of October, we basically had a battle over there, which most people know it as the Black Hawk Down incident, where 18 U.S. soldiers were killed, another 73 were severely wounded. If you saw the motion picture, it kind of gave you a small depiction of how aggressive that entire situation was. It was really sad to waste a lot of lives just for no reason at all. That was, of course, under the Clinton administration. But about a couple months after that happened, in October of 93, United States basically was such a fiasco, they pulled all the troops, completely withdrew them out of Somalia. Now they've reported that the new deployment with U.S. AFRICOM is they're putting U.S. troops on the ground officially again in Somalia. They're stating now that this is basically a simple training operation. But as we all know, I mean, every time the military has a training operation or they're just going to be somewhere temporarily, it usually escalates from there. Now, I mean, there have been contractors and there have been a few special operations that have happened over the last 15 to 20 years there, but they never really were official. Now we're actually putting an official infantry back on the ground in Somalia. The issue is that it's the request of the Somalian government of why we're bringing U.S. troops back in for this so-called training exercise. The issue with Somalia is, I mean, it's in a constant civil war all the time. I mean, we use Somalia as one of the main countries to funnel weapons through into Africa. So, I mean, they are just littered with heavy weapons, 50 cals, RPGs, everything. They have endless supplies of it over there. That's why the whole incident with Black Hawk Down was so violent and hard to control, because it was just a nightmare. And like I said, you can see part of that in that movie. But I don't really know what to think of it. I don't know why we're putting them in there. Obviously, we're not being told everything. So I wanted to bring that up today and let the audience know that, I mean, we're going into another country again, putting infantry on the ground in a country we really have no business being in, guys.
Austin, two things, real quick, and this for the benefit of our audience too. Number one, the generals, majority of the military generals today say you can only fight, America can only fight and be effective on two fronts, two separate fronts.
Yep.
End of story on that. But the reason Somalia is important from my research and investigation is Somalia is a hub if not one of the origin countries for human organs and human trafficking.
Okay.
So just to add that in there, and the Muslim countries, especially the Muslim majority countries where they don't smoke, they don't drink, their livers are worth a heck of a lot more than westernized countries where you have a cirrhotic liver or, you know, bad lungs. Just as an FYI. Thank you, man. Go ahead.
Well, yeah, I actually didn't know that part. I do know that a lot of those countries, they've been using some of the heavy weapons, but that makes sense. I mean, when you start having the organ smuggling like that, it would make sense. Who knows why we're actually going to be there, if we're going to be there for an extended time? I'm not sure. So, I mean, we'll just have to keep an eye on it and keep the audience informed as we see what happens. I just really hope we don't have another situation like what happened in 93, because that was pretty horrific for the U.S. troops over there.
And we've seen a lot of, obviously, this is not an example of war games, military training missions, as we saw in South Korea over the last few weeks, and now they're launching a new war game in Australia with the U.S. and Australia. But into Somalia, as you said, this is a whole different issue. They're going there for a specific unstated purpose, and for what, you know, why, we don't know, and what's the agenda, what's the mission, it's not being disclosed, so that's a little concerning. And as you said, Somalia's been in a state of civil war for a long time. It does, you know, bring, you know, you want to know why. I'm sure many people want to know why. And one of the big criticisms I see from Trump supporters is what he ran on a non-interventionist platform. You know,
exactly.
He wasn't going to do this. And a lot of people are angry with him from the Syria strike to the meddling in North Korea. The North Korea situation less so, but if this is a pattern of behavior, he's going to have a hard time getting reelected if he continues to go back on his campaign promises.
He's going to have a hard time finishing his term, Austin. What do you say about that?
No, you're absolutely right. I mean, that was kind of one of the big aspects that a lot of the conservatives really liked about him, is he wanted to focus primarily on America, you know, make America great again. I mean, that was his slogan, not invade more countries again, like we've done for the last 20 years. And this whole thing with North Korea, you know, I personally think there's a lot of stuff going on over there that we're not being told about. All we're hearing on the mainstream media every day now is how North Korea is going to release a nuke. They're going to release an EMP. They're going to release a cyber attack. They're going to do all this stuff. Granted, I'm not a fan of North Korea. You know, I'm not a fan of this regime or anything they're really involved in. However, every time we start seeing the mainstream media go this far into something and continue to push an agenda, a narrative that really seems like it's a globalist narrative, to me it seems like they're trying to prep everybody and get everybody conditioned for a false flag. That way, if a nuke does get launched, if an EMP does go off, if we have some massive cyber attack, doesn't even matter if it's North Korea. It could be the CIA. We know they have the malware and all the different devices to do that now. They're immediately going to blame it on North Korea, just like we saw in Syria last week with the gas, whatever they released it was. It didn't take a day for them to blame Assad for it, and they had zero evidence at all. So I don't know. What's your guys' take on North Korea as far as what's going over there right now?
Well, you know, there's a lot of different narratives that are in the media, and I agree that whether it's media driven or this is, you know, Trump trying to show maybe his dominance, or if it's his ego, as some people have said, I don't know. But it does seem media driven. And I even saw a headline to that effect, I believe it was yesterday, you know, media reports almost trigger, you know, nuclear war between U.S. and North Korea. I agree with you that it is a media narrative. North Korea is a horrible country when it comes to human rights abuses and freedom of its citizens. Yet at the same time, it's, you know, it hasn't been involved in a war since 1953.
Yeah.
They do operate with threats to
just
other
countries. Just understand that, Joe and Austin, that war, we're still at war. It was just an armistice that was signed.
But one thing that I think about is that list of seven nations that don't have a central bank in it before 2001, the terrorist attacks in 2001. North Korea is still one of three nations left not to have that.
And Iran
is another one. Yeah. And I'm not sure who the third one is. But there definitely is an agenda that we are not being informed upon, and nor ever will we be in this lifetime, as to the true intentions of why they're doing what they're doing. So I would say it's a little bit of both. It's you know, maybe Trump was allowed some latitude to put his foot down. At the same time, this probably came from you know, a higher up think tank organization like the CFR, or this is definitely part of the globalist agenda.
Oh, absolutely. Like you just said, I mean, you go back 2001, you know, Afghanistan, Iraq, Syria, all these countries, they didn't have a Federal Reserve controlled bank there. They didn't have a central bank. And the first thing we do after we completely change the regime and we take over the country, after we usually get done bombing it, we throw in a Federal Reserve, you know, Federal Reserve Bank into that country and control what they were going to do. The same way we saw with Libya, with Gaddafi, and how he wanted to start trading in gold with oil. You saw how quickly that was shut down. They made sure that that wasn't going to happen. And then you had the incident with Benghazi that really is one of the only things that got national attention with that whole situation. Because if that wouldn't have happened over there, I think very few people would have ever really learned the truth about what happened in Libya.
Yeah, Libya, Syria, Iraq,
yep.
Afghanistan, Iran, North Korea, and I think Cuba was the seventh one. So there might be only two left. And what are the biggest the war hawks out there? What are their biggest the biggest countries that they continue to promote that they want to attack? Iran and North Korea.
Yep.
So it's not a coincidence at all. And will we be brought to war with North Korea? I want to say no, you know, not at this moment, but at the same time, I'm not sure, because the way the media is portraying this, and it's so hard to tell in this age of propaganda, especially when you're talking about an international political situation. You're only getting one side of the story. I forget who I was talking to. Maybe it was our producer, John Robertson. He was telling us that throughout last week, all these different countries' newspapers from many places in Europe to other places around the world saying, you know, we're basically on the brink of nuclear war, that this was going to happen. But it was being portrayed in the American media much differently than it was being portrayed in the global media. And I wonder how, I'm sure that happens more often than not. I don't think we'll know until something happens. If we're actually going to be in a militarized conflict with North Korea, from here on out. It's obviously going to happen at some time in some way. Some people say China is going to rein in North Korea through sanctions and, you know, cutting back the amount of coal they purchase from North Korea and other economic hits that they're going to take through China. And some believe it will come to a, you know, missile-launching combat situation. And that's obviously the worst-case scenario. But remember, we're not far away from this new world order being implemented in full force.
Well, and the thing that I noticed as far as the last couple of weeks, I've really been trying to watch this from an outside perspective and then kind of compare it to what we've seen with other countries pre-invasion and so forth. And when I started seeing the cyber threat narrative being pushed so hard by the mainstream media last week and this week about North Korea, that's what really raised the big red flag to me. Because if you start looking at really the implications with what the CIA is capable of, after we saw, you know, the WikiLeaks Vault 7 release month and a half ago, how they actually have the malware and the different types of viruses that they can make it look like any country is the country of origin from a cyber threat, and you really can't even figure out where it came from as far as it's directly pointing to them. When I started seeing that, it really made me start to think that if we actually do have some type of conflict arise, or if it does start, I personally think, in my opinion, it's going to be some type of false flag, and then that's going to get North Korea to engage, because we're going to have the preliminary say, oh, we're striking now because they did a cyber threat, so we're going to launch another 59 Tomahawk missiles or whatever they want to do again. And then, of course, at that point, we know North Korea is going to retaliate if we do that. That's why I'm really thinking it's leaning in that direction.
Yeah, and, you know, hopefully we don't see a false flag, but, you know, basically every war, especially recently, has been started through some type of disinformation propaganda or false flag attack. And I'm sure it will be no different as we see more and more of the consolidation of the media, you know, pushing the globalist New World Order narrative. It seems like all mainstream media, on the right or the left, both are highly controlled. They're told what to talk about, what not to talk about, how to talk about issues, in what context, who to defend, who not to defend. So everything is ripe for a false flag attack or a duping the people to take us to war. And we've heard from several of our guests who say that they would do it for you know, economic reasons, meaning they need the dollar to maintain its value, so that this is one reason to invade North Korea or go to war with North Korea. I mean, there's a million reasons and speculation as to why, but hopefully the deterrent of Russia and China will keep us from an all-out war, because if you go to war with North Korea, unless there is a false flag, you know, pointing to North Korea, China and Russia are definitely going to get involved, and that's we're in no shape to launch a full-fledged World War III. Even though we know it's going to be coming at some time, it doesn't mean we have to get into it today or tomorrow.
No, we all hope it's not going to happen.
Absolutely.
But that's one of the reasons why, I mean, you know, I've been telling everybody the last couple of weeks, you know, whatever happens, whatever the reasoning is, whether it's a real attack, whether it's a false flag, everybody's got to start staying as prepped as possible. And I mean, having backup water at the house, having some backup ammo, having stuff with you in the vehicle, man. I mean, that's, I keep that in my truck all the time. I have a small bag, you know, I got a Glock in there with mags. I got some food bars, some water filters, you know, a full IFAT kit, which is basically a first aid kit with tourniquets and all that, just because if everybody kind of starts collectively getting prepared, even if it's just something minor, you know, like having some storable food, having some canned food, having some water, everybody's going to be able to come together if something does happen, and we're going to be able to support each other in a unit. Too many people now in this country are so reliant on right now aspects. You know, they go to Walmart every other day for food, or they go to fast food. They don't even have food at their house. All this stuff is getting ready that it's just the smallest spark could ignite something so aggressive in this country to where most people would have no idea how to even function longer than 2 to 3 days without their bare essentials being covered. And that's why I've just been telling everybody, man, here locally, here on the show, it doesn't cost that much. You know, a lot of times people go out to dinner and eat $40, $50 in food at dinner. You can go to Sam's, you can go to Publix, you can buy, you know, $20, $30 in canned food and $10 in water. You do that once every 2 to 3 weeks. You do that for 6 months. You have enough food and water for you and your family to sit on for a month and not even have to go out to the store. So I don't know, man. That's the, if your audience is, you know, I know your audience is huge on that. So, but I just like to convey it as well, because I want to make sure everybody knows that I keep reiterating it for that specific reason, because if everybody's ready, if something happens, it's going to be a lot easier for all the patriots to come together and really support one another instead of having multiple people that are trying to leech off everybody.
Absolutely right. Austin, what else is catching your guys' attention on what are you guys talking about on your radio show?
Well, one of the things that caught my attention, this is about from about a week ago, but I was talking about it because this is something that nobody really is bringing up in the media, and it's starting to get quite big in a lot of states. Five states now already are allowing police to use armed drones. Now, they're saying it's only for less lethal weapons. Connecticut now is about to be another state that's going to allow this. They're having a bill, and see, what it does is the bill in a lot of these things are getting passed is very vague, but what it essentially does is it bans weaponized drones except for police and other agencies involved in law enforcement. So what it does is it prohibits the use from a civilian from having an armed drone, which I can't really say that's a bad thing, but then it takes it to the side and gives law enforcement, FBI, ATF, any of these guys the ability to operate weaponized drones in this state. And so they're allowed to use stun guns, rubber bullets, tear gas, any less lethals are allowed to be on it. The issue I have with this is, as we know with the police state, as it's pushing closer and closer and closer to a full-blown tyrannical government, from just the police state aspect and what we've seen from the MRAPs, from the government subsidies, from all the vehicles and machine guns and night vision, everything coming over from the Middle East and just being given to these law enforcement agencies. I know our local sheriff, Polk County, they have two MRAPs. One is monstrous. It's a huge MRAP, and they got it for $2,500. Now they're getting drones subsidized, and they're saying they're allowed to use less lethals on them. The problem is, where's the line drawn with this? I mean, so now what are they going to say? If you're in your backyard and say you're shooting a gun in a berm, and they say, well, your acreage isn't big enough to operate the firearm, even though it's a safe manner, we're going to fly a drone over you, we're going to start shooting you with rubber bullets, or we're going to deploy tear gas. When you start allowing drones to operate like this and allow them to be armed, even if it's with less lethals, it sends a big red flag up in my head that we're going in the wrong direction. And the issue with that as well is, like I said, where's the line drawn? Where do they say, well, they're only weaponized with less lethals, but there's an exception if there's some type of significant terrorist attack. We're going to be able to fit them with an M4 machine gun, and that's the only way we'll do it, though. That's where we're headed with these weaponized drones, and really nobody's wanting to talk about it that much. And in my opinion, it's something very, very significant that local police are starting to do in a lot of states now.
Yeah, I've seen a number of reports about not armed drones, but police using drones for different things like speeding traps.
Yep.
And doing even testing over unsuspecting residents in Texas.
Yep.
That was a story from just a week or two ago.
If I can interrupt, people may remember, I talked about this a couple of years ago. I said on our program, one year ago. Okay, but I know it was longer than that. And folks, you might remember this. The government is already using armed drones, not just surveillance drones, but armed drones over the continental United States. That was my source who had given to me from the government, from DHS, stating, yes, armed drones are in use. Now, did they fire on anybody? No. I mean, how do we know? But nonetheless, this should not surprise anyone if you've been listening to this program for any length of time.
No, you're absolutely right. And the one thing I brought up the other day when I was talking about this is we have had one confirmed death with an unarmed vehicle. And that was in Dallas, if you guys remember last year, mm-hmm. with the guy that was shooting the cops. I mean, it was an egregious act. And he barricaded himself in the car, carport area, wherever he was at, and they used one of the bomb squad machine drones to basically go in there with a grenade or whatever they had fabbed up, and they basically blew him up in the room. And now I'm not advocating what the guy did. I thought it was egregious. I mean, he was shooting people, shooting unarmed civilians, shooting cops. I mean, it was ridiculous. But again, there was no trial. There was no nothing. They sent a drone in and blew him up in the room. Did that save police lives from having to engage him and bring a SWAT team in the room? Possibly. But again, you just use a weaponized drone on an American civilian. And like I said, I'm not supporting what the guy did, but that really set a bad precedent because I really saw a huge portion of the population actually agree with what he did and commended the police department and saying it was awesome, when I don't think anybody really even comprehended what just happened in this country, because to me, it wasn't cool at all.
Well, you're going to get a lot of back and forth on that. I guess without getting into that specific story, I do agree with you. At the same time, in a situation like that with an active live shooter gunning down police officers, I don't remember all the specific details, but I remember that they had a camera on it. And I don't know. I do agree with what you're saying, though, that the weaponization of police drones and vehicles is another area where they will be able to continue to abuse powers.
Exactly right.
And and it is much more invasive with drones, because they make drones that are very small. They make drones that are very quiet. And the police, obviously having access to taxpayer money, are going to go for the best equipment out there. And when you already have issues relating to police misconduct when it comes to the use of drones and privacy issues and other constitutional issues, to continue to further to weaponize them, to say they're going to release them during even for, like you said, people shooting on their property, it's very troubling. And I don't know, we're not going in the right direction in that area. We're becoming more of a police state,
yeah,
as you indicated. And I'm not sure what defense we have, except the same corrupt courts against fighting against this. So, where do we go from here?
I think that's one of the most frustrating parts, and that's why it's so important that everybody engages their local government, as far as whether it's their mayors or their governor or whatever. When you see stuff like this and you see it coming on the books, we have to oppose it as strong as possible. And the issue I have with this, like I said, is they're passing it that you can't arm a drone, but yet they're saying law enforcement and other agencies are allowed to use less lethals on them. So that's, to me, you know, I'm a big advocate of the Second Amendment. I personally think, you know, class three weapons and all that should be much more accessible. You're already doing background checks. You're already doing fingerprints. You're already going to go through the whole ATF process. The whole idea of the Second Amendment was allowing and ensuring that the civilian population had the exact same weapons as the government. Now, granted, I don't think civilians need to be running around with, you know, surface air missiles and Abrams tanks. There's really not a legitimate purpose for that. But as far as small arms go, if they're trying to say civilians can't have an armed drone, but police can have an armed drone, police can have unlimited machine guns, but we can't have them unless they were made before 1986, that's where it starts going. That's why I've been such a huge advocate of getting the Hughes Amendment repealed. And also, too, getting suppressors off the NFA Act, so you can actually buy a suppressor, which all it is a, you know, a suppressor, you know, silencer. It's just a weapon accessory. So that's one thing that I've really tried to work on the local level and the whole country level, is really allowing law-abiding citizens to have access to weapons that they're entitled to by the Constitution.
Yeah, it's, now some might argue, Austin, that, well, the Constitution doesn't really give you the right to own a silencer or a suppressor, but
right.
but I think you're right, though. You're correct in saying, look, that should be made available, because, yeah, the checks are already there. Austin, thank you so much. Your program with your dad, 3 to 4 Eastern, correct?
Yeah, 3 to 4 Eastern. You can listen to it at healthmasters.com Monday through Friday.
Perfect. My friend, thank you so much for your time and your insight. That's Somalia. We're going to keep our eyes on what's going on in Africa. Thank you for that. Thank you for letting us know about that.
Absolutely, guys. It's been a pleasure being on with you. You guys have a great rest of the show and an awesome night.
All right, brother.
You have a great night, too. Thanks for coming on. We'll be right back with John Rappaport after this.
Greenovative. Go to HagmanReport.com. Click on the link to Greenovative. What Greenovative is, it's a small company in Florida. They created something called the G-Mag Power Cell. It produces electricity by adding salt water to this unit that recharges rechargeable batteries. It's the coolest thing you'll ever see in your life. It's really neat. Really a super device. All right, you need just 2 teaspoons of ordinary table salt, a little water. But a bang, you're charging your rechargeable batteries. Super G-Mag Chargeable is affordable, it's lightweight, weighs about 8 ounces, it's durable, it's EMP proof, and it's environmentally friendly. Yeah, that it is. It'll provide safe and convenient power for recharging 6 AA batteries off the grid when other power sources aren't available. Anywhere, anytime, in any weather, day or night, go to greeninnovative.com. That's greeninnovative.com. Folks, in these uncertain times, it just makes sense to have a sustainable backup method for accomplishing one of life's most important tasks, that's preparing food. This is the way to go. There is nothing better than a Minuteman rocket stove from MinutemanStove.com. We all need a way to cook and a method to process water. I mean, think about it. Think about the many things that could happen to you. A Minuteman rocket stove can provide your family or group the perfect solution. It's small, lightweight, wood-burning, and every bit as powerful as a kitchen stove. It's smokeless, fully self-contained for clean storage and transport. Because it's so efficient, it cuts down on your wood gathering and processing chores to a tenth what would be required if cooking the old-fashioned way over an open fire. So don't rely on gas or fuel stoves. Prepare your family. Prepare for yourself. Order a Minuteman rocket stove today. It's going to make bad times much better. Folks, MinutemanStove.com. MinutemanStove.com. Need I say more?
You should have a Minuteman, the survival stove in an ammo can.
For investors, timberland has become the symbol of safety. Global tropical timber demand continues to surge as the world's population increases. The need for managed, sustainable timber production forests has never been greater. When stock markets crash, trees keep growing. Direct ownership of fully managed tropical timberland acreage is now available to accredited investors. Prime, valuable hardwood groves close to the beautiful Costa Rican border generate and maintain superior long-term wealth. consider visiting our forest plantations. Qualified accredited investors should go to PreciousTimberProfits.com or dial 855-888-6288 for more information. Call 855-888-6288 or visit PreciousTimberProfits.com. This announcement does not constitute either an offer to sell securities or a solicitation of an offer to purchase. Offering made by prospectus only. 855-888-6288, PreciousTimberProfits.com, PreciousTimberProfits.com.